It's Monday, which means it's time for our weekly Astronomy Ireland Skywatch with David Moore, editor of Astronomy and Magazine. So what's happening this week above us? Some fascinating celestial events happening this week, including a stunning close encounter between Mars and the Moon, Venus and Saturn in the morning sky, the European Space Agency talking up a rapid revolution of technology that would allow humans to live beyond Earth, and details about Ireland's biggest annual stargazing event, the Star Barbecue. David, thanks for being with us, as always.
My pleasure.
Okay, David, let's start with the European Space Agency predicting that there will be a rapid evolution of technology that will change the understanding of how we can live beyond Earth. Now, the European Space Agency's vision for 2040 includes humans thriving in space oases on the Moon, Mars, and in orbit. How realistic do you think this timeline is, given current technological and financial challenges?
Well, we've seen, for instance, say, the development of artificial intelligence recently, and how much that now impacts on our everyday lives. You know, if you look back a few decades, we didn't have all the social media we have and smartphones, let's say, at the end of the last century, and how much that's changed the planet as well. So it's always hard to predict the future, because sometimes you just don't see things coming along. I don't think we saw the internet. I don't think we saw artificial intelligence the way it is. And so it's difficult to put timelines on things. And if you sit down and have a lot of experts like the European Space Agency has done, then hopefully you get a reasonable prediction. But I wouldn't expect it to be super accurate. But there's no doubt things like artificial intelligence and the rise of automation and computers is going to change certainly human society and definitely space exploration in the future. And this century has to be a century of space exploration, as much as, say, the last century was jet travel. Look how much that shrunk planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Compare, say, 1900 to the year 2000. So if you looked at this century, it's probably difficult to say what the world will look like in 100 years or at the end of, say, 2100 when we get that far, if we're still here, if we don't do something about the climate, for example.
Okay. Now, the ESA, one of its key predictions is AI-driven robots autonomously exploring alien worlds, like diving into subsurface oceans or Martian caves. How might this change, if they are accurate, how might this change the way we search for extraterrestrial life or resources?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, the impact of machine learning. I mean, artificial intelligence, it's not that clever. It's certainly a force to be reckoned with. I mean, for instance, writing the next issue of the magazine, I happened to ask it about the star Spica, which the Moon is going to be very close to in July. And we know it's the nearest star to the Sun that's going to explode. And the results I got back from a robot, basically, that has scoured the entire internet, supposed to know the entire content of the internet, it told me that something that was going to happen in the future, had happened in the past. It just got very simple facts wrong. So the problem is we don't really know how artificial intelligence works, or maybe it should be why. We know that we feed it lots of facts and train it, and it can regurgitate things. It makes it look like it's clever, but in fact, it's just a very advanced algorithm. But in things like recognizing patterns, that's where it really is strong. And it's going to be used to do the kind of things with very sketchy data that the human brain or even our own mathematics can't really analyze. And we're seeing this a lot now in astronomy. Today, the best pictures from the new Vera Rubin Observatory were released, and it's going to produce so much pictures with a 3-gigapixel camera that no team of humans are going to be able to analyze them all. So it has to be processed by artificial intelligence mechanisms to spit out all the asteroids, okay, supernovas, exploding stars, and new objects we never even dreamt of yet that it's going to find. And I think that huge survey telescope that's been a long time in the planning, and it's going to be a big game changer, couldn't produce the results it's going to produce without artificial intelligence. So it's a huge tool, especially for the space science industry.
Now, David, we've seen curtailment of the limits to what they can bring from Earth into space, weight wise, all of those kind of things. The report mentions mammoth constructions built in space, free from launch constraints. In other words, could 3D printing and in orbit assembly really make massive space habitats feasible in just 16 years?
Almost certainly, because, you know, you see people using 3D printing on the Earth now as a matter of course. They've had 3D printers, I think they still have one currently, on the International Space Station. They're not at the stage yet where they build whole modules, but they're very handy for something like if you need a tool that to fix a certain part of your space station or a replacement part, you don't have to wait for it to be shipped up from the ground anymore, which is very expensive. If you have enough of the materials, you can make, say, a particularly shaped spanner with a 3D printer on site and just have the plans for it transmitted up at the speed of light to the space station. So there are plans to 3D build whole habitats on the moon using lunar surface rock and dust. That saves you bringing the, you know, say, the metals for the structure that you might need from the Earth again. Ridiculously expensive. And as the number of launches increases on the Earth, we're beginning to find that, you know, the rocket fuel that's being used can affect the Earth's atmosphere. And that's not good for climate change either, if we get to the point where the report says, you know, launching is going to be an everyday experience. Mm-hmm. And if you look at people like Elon Musk's SpaceX company, and they're planning so many launches, but reusing so much of the hardware, that it brings the cost right down. That's one of the reasons why SpaceX has been so successful, and even NASA pay for him to launch it, because it's cheaper to pay a private contractor who's perfected this recycling than it is to develop a whole new system on your own. As the big space agencies used to in the past, when, you know, we were fumbling around trying to figure out what works best. Now we know we can mass produce it.
Okay. Now, the European Space Agency calls space expansion a necessity, not a luxury. First of all, do you agree? And what do you think would motivate governments and private companies to invest heavily in this vision?
Well, there are people who are making vast amounts of money from space-based activities. The world's two richest men, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they both have big space companies. They're making money by selling their services to not just NASA, who paid them both to help with the coming, this decade, landing of people on the moon again, the first time since 1972. And that's people. The craft has to be extremely reliable. And there are not just governments. There are private companies that want to launch particular missions. For instance, all the internet satellites that are putting up, things like Starlink, Jeff Bezos has his own version. Chinese are building one. Everybody, it seems, is building one. The sky is going to be awash with satellites, which ruined my photographs. And that's just a hobby.
I know, and
but
we
now
mentioned this
mentioned
before,
the Vera Rubin telescope. Mm-hmm. I think they've reckoned that 30% of its work, they can't even recover by removing the satellite tracks off it. And that's over a billion euro telescope. So it's costing serious money to the research community. It's a bit of a wild west at the moment. So, stopping people from making money is a very difficult thing to do, and there's a lot of money to be made in space. I think I saw an estimate early on Elon Musk's Starlink business would be worth about a turnover of $40 billion a year. Hard to stop somebody making that much money.
Okay, moving to the celestial events this week, David. On Sunday night, Mars will appear very close to the moon, just two moon widths apart. Can you describe what viewers can expect to see and how rare an event like this is?
Yeah, it's so slim pickings this time of year, this close to the solstice, which was last Saturday, that we don't get very long nights, really just a few hours, and you sort of had to wait till midnight to get a really dark sky. Local midnight's 1:30, so by 3 a.m. it's as bright again as it was at midnight. So we've only got those few hours. But the big highlight this week is Mars, which is very low now in the west. But the moon next to it will help. And anyone who's got the Astronomy Island magazine for June will see on page 28 the diagram showing the moon, with Mars just off the edge. If you held up your little finger at arm's length, you'd cover both Mars and the Moon at the same time. So two moon widths.
Wow.
To the upper right of a very thin crescent moon. Should be a lovely sight as long as you've got a nice, clear western horizon and you don't mind watching in all that twilight.
Okay, and Regulus, of course, will also be visible near the Moon. For those who don't know, what is Regulus and how does its distance compare to Mars and the Moon? I know we covered a bit of this last week too.
Yeah, it's the brightest star in the constellation of Leo. So it's normally plainly visible with naked eye. It'd be lower down than Mars and the Moon. A good bit to the right. The diagram shows exactly where. So if you do see the Moon and Mars, just have a scan to the right of it. You might see Regulus. They're about the same brightness, Mars and Regulus. But when you're watching the three objects, which look quite pretty, I think it's always amazing to consider the distances. So the Moon is less than 500,000 kilometers away. Mars is 700 times further. Nearly 300 million kilometers away. And Regulus being a star is absolutely colossal. And 77 light years away, which is about 3,000 times Mars distance.
Okay.
So it's mind-boggling when you stand looking at them to think of those facts. And of course, Mars is twice the width of the Moon in reality. Regulus is 5 million kilometers wide. That's 4 times wider than the Sun, or about 800 times wider than Mars. So the facts and figures in astronomy are always mind-boggling.
Okay, and that mind-boggling figure of 700 times farther than the Moon and Regulus millions of times even further, how does putting these distances into perspective change the way we look at the night sky?
Well, it's what got me interested in astronomy in the first place. Back in the day before the internet, there was a book in the school library and it showed me a picture of the Earth with this just another circle the size of the Sun. And I didn't know the Sun was 100 times wider than the Earth. And I got to thinking, wow, we are really tiny. There's not anything on the Earth that's trivial compared to the Sun. And then on the next page, there's a tiny little dot, which was the Sun, and a huge giant star that made the Sun look like a speck of dust. And I thought, wow, that star is ridiculously big compared to the Sun and unimaginably big compared to the Earth. And on the next page, that giant star was a tiny dot, and the biggest star known was drawn next to it. And my mind was blown. I couldn't imagine how tiny the Earth was. And this was just one star, and we knew there were trillions of stars out there. I thought, I have to know more about this. And I've been hooked ever since.
And hence ever since. Now, I know we're getting very close to the end of time here, but I want to cover two small issues very briefly. Before sunrise this week, Venus and Saturn will be visible. Venus is famously bright. When and where should people look to spot it?
About 4 a.m., look for Venus over in the east, where the Sun rises. You'll see a brilliant star, 100 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky. You can't miss it. It's just low down. And if you look to its upper right, you'll see a fairly bright star. That's actually Saturn. And it's getting better as the mornings go by. By the end of July, we've just been writing about the magazine. It'll be a fantastic sight.
Okay.
And it's going to be a big target at our Starbucks coming up in September.
Tell me about, tell me briefly.
Evening sky by then.
Tell me briefly about the star.
Main morning plants.
Yeah. Tell me briefly about the star barbecue on September the 20th.
Yeah, it seems a long way away, but we have a special deal on tickets until August the 1st. And it's nearly July now, so you've only got July left to book them. It's the biggest annual star party, a fundraiser for Astronomy Ireland. We invite the general public from all over the island to come to Roundwood in the middle of the Wicklow Mountains where the skies are extremely dark. We take over the GA grounds there and have talks, exhibits and stalls in the hall. We pepper the fields with giant telescopes. Most of our members don't own telescopes.
Okay.
And to have them in a truly dark sky, we can give the general public incredible live views of the wonders of the universe. Saturn, galaxies, star clusters, giant gas clouds, exploding stars, more. I'll even be giving my universe talk. There's a professionally catered barbecue and all the food,
okay,
talks. And unlimited viewings included in the ticket price. So, you know, do go to astronomy.ie. Bring all your family and friends. It's a fundraiser as well. Great night and something you have to do once in your life.
And next week we will cover the Understanding the Universe evening classes. We'll cover that next week on next week's programme. Listen, that's all we have time for today. Huge thank you to you, David Moore, from Astronomy Ireland magazine, for sharing these incredible sky-watching tips and events. Don't forget to check out the Mars-Moon conjunction with this Sunday. And if you're interested in the Star Barbecue or their evening classes, visit astronomy.ie. Until next time, keep looking up.